You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to this Wednesday edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we talk about the Indiana Pacers 5 days a week. As always, I'm one of the hosts of the show, Tony East, with the West Indianapolis Community News and over at 8.9 seconds. Today, we're talking about a win over the Knicks that was very ugly, like one of the ugliest games ever. If this game was a person, this person would have acne. I have acne. I'm allowed to make that joke. It was terrible. They won. That's all that really matters. And I'll talk about Nate's comments before the game about that in a second. And then I'm going to go shorter today just because it's super late at night. I was writing about something interesting and I'm going to go two short segments, one on Oladipo's little recovery video and one on Tyreke Evans missing time. So stick around for that. But let's talk Knicks. So before the game, somebody asked head coach Nate McMillan what, you know, if obviously that he's going to hit his buzzwords. Nate McMillan loves to say things like take it one day at a time. And someone asked in the question, are you guys just taking it one day at a time? He said, you nailed it. But he was more focused on, and I never even thought of him like thinking this way or the team thinking this way, but he said, we've lost two in a row. We try to correct it by the third game. They really emphasized not losing three in a row. I think that mentally is just, it hurts you more than it hurts you more mentally than it actually hurts you in the standings to lose three in a row. So he puts an emphasis on winning that third one. And they, you know, thank God it was the Knicks because they stink and they were a good time to get back in line because the Pacers didn't really play that well in this game. You know, they were down 10 in the middle of the second quarter. I think it was 49-39 at that point in time. And the first quarter, the Knicks were playing better. Like, it was kind of a slap fight between, you know, I think the Pacers had the lead at one point. It was kind of a slap fight at like the 5-4 point lead. You know, the Knicks never got a big lead, but they were winning the whole quarter. And then in the second quarter, another oscillating lead. And then the Knicks went on a big run from the middle, in the middle of the quarter. They were up 10 with like 5 minutes to go. 5:04, I believe, to go in the quarter. They had a 49-39 lead. And then the Pacers went on this huge run. They took the lead by two into halftime, or by three into halftime. They really should have been more. Kevin Knox hit a contested three for their only shot in 5 minutes. So really, they could not do anything on offense. I think they were 1-for-10 from three in the first half, or at some point in the first half, they were 1-for-10 from three because I remember tweeting, okay, they're shooting 10% from the field, and that was why they just could not get down from the outside at that point, that their scoring was not effective. They turned on the shooting in the second half. So they finished. Okay, I found it finally. I was kind of stalling there. They finished the first half 2-for-13 from three, and then made 6-of-9 in the third quarter. So after a really big struggle in the first half, they didn't really look lethargic. Like, they were good looks. You know, the Knicks aren't great on D. They just weren't making them. They finally made them in the third quarter. They came out, you know, and really punched them in the mouth. And that's what I wanted to see was, you know, go punch him in the mouth. They need a big, confident win. And they extended the lead to 15 by the end of the third, and then just an atrocious, atrocious fourth quarter. They didn't score for 5 minutes from 5:30 to go till about 30 seconds to go. Thankfully, their defense stepped up, and they held the Knicks to 98, but it was very weird to see them just crumbling like that, where, you know, finally the outside shot is falling. And yet they're, you know, they just choke it all away in the fourth quarter because they just couldn't get any offense going. No one could make anything. You know, another one of those games where everybody's shooting 50% or lower. McDermott with 6 shots and Bojan were the only two guys to go over 50%. And Bojan was the carrier of the team thanks to that that really good shooting. So that was huge. This game had a statistical anomaly. The Knicks shot 43.8% from the field. The Pacers only shot 43.5%, so the Knicks shot better from the field. The Pacers shot 8-for-28, 28.6% from three, while the Knicks shot 13-of-28, so 46.4%. So they shot better from the field and from three, and then they also shot better from the free throw line. So they shot better from everyone on the court, and they took 5 fewer shots than the Pacers. So very minor amount. The difference was the Pacers had a higher volume of free throws. and had more volume of shots because they turned it over way less. The Knicks had 20 turnovers to the Pacers 10, which is what I talked about yesterday, is that the Knicks have all these young guards who turn it over a lot, and that's why the Pacers won by despite shooting worse from literally everywhere, because you know DeAndre Jordan had 5 turnovers. That was not who I expected to be their high turnover guy, but you know Dennis Smith flying into the lane and coughing it up 4 times, or Alonzo Trier, you know these young guys who don't have they're going to be good NBA players at some point. They just right now don't have the tightest handle. They don't have a good read for the rest of their teammates. They're easy to stop and force into turnovers. The Pacers did a great job with those guys. Because that was the difference in the game and on their runs, is they were forcing turnovers, getting out ahead of the play and running quick offense instead of doing what they've been struggling so much with, which is a slow, unurgent kind of play where they just attack a switch. It's really kind of, it's been so bad, and it got bad in the fourth again, but they did just enough to hold on and win. And Bojan was the star of the show with his 24 points in 36 minutes, 9 of 16 from the field. Making his three-pointer at below average level for him, but an above-average level for the league. And on 8 attempts, that's what you really want from him. He was really solid in this game. They didn't really have a good matchup guy for him, with Damian Dotson being their 3 or Kevin Knox kind of. But neither of those guys could guard him at all. So he was able to get to the rim, break the defense down, and do some stuff. And then Miles Turner, he finished with 15 points and 9 rebounds. It took him 15 shots. He was not finishing the ball well from the field, but he got 15 good looks. You know, I think maybe 2 or 3 of those were tough contested ones around the basket, but DeAndre couldn't stretch out to him, and that kind of spaced everything out for the team. And Miles was kind of sliding to the opposite elbow because the Knicks would double everything on the block. So he was able to get some good looks that just didn't fall for him. And then Thaddeus Young, Wes Matthews, and Darren Collison, all one shot away from, all one make away from being over 50% and breaking my rule of inefficient shooting. And that group combined, it did not miss one free throw, which was a big problem in that 76ers game. So they were all, the starters were all pretty good or okay to better. At least they had some guys performing above their expectation. You know, 16 points, 9 assists, and no turnovers from Collison. Is a great game, and he hit the clutch shot that put the game away. The Knicks cut it to 3, and he hit a nice wing fadeaway jumper to extend it to 5, and then the dagger free throws. But the bench did not do much of anything. The bench finished with just 24 points total. Sabonis was 4 of 12 from the field. Holiday, Kojo, and TJ Leaf combined to go 2 of 8 from the field. They really struggled. McDermott was the only guy shooting with a high rate of accuracy on the bench. He missed both of his threes, though. He was 4-4 from inside the arc. So a weirdly productive game for Doug McDermott. The bench was strange. And even when an off night like that, they were, you know, the team was a plus with most of those guys in the game, because the Knicks bench is just atrocious outside of Mitchell Robinson, Lance Thomas, John Jenkins, Alonzo Trier, and Emmanuel Mudiay. For all the stuff they did well, are just young guys who don't impact winning in the right ways. And the Pacers were able to exploit that. So they got a lot from their starters and not as much from their bench, but the Knicks stink, and they were able to force them into enough turnovers to get a win on a day that they did not play well. So they needed this win, and they play bad and get it. That's huge. I mean, I know it seems like a minor win to beat the Knicks, but with the stretch of schedule coming up, to keep pace with the teams ahead of you or right behind you, in the Celtics' case, in the standings is big time. And now PG's going to come into town. I'll talk about that tomorrow. But first, let's get through today's show. First, I'm going to cut to talking about Victor Oladipo's segment shooting. So let's do that. So we haven't talked about Vic on the show in a while, rightfully so. So he is in Miami. He has been in Miami ever since his surgery from that torn quad tendon. So the deal, or the impression I get, and I'm almost positive this is accurate, is that he's rehabbing there not because he's like so in love with Miami or wants to be there. He is rehabbing there because he literally cannot get on a plane because he couldn't destabilize his leg at all for so long that he had to be there. And I thought that was the case all the time, but then today, NBA on TNT or NBA TV, I forget who it was, someone tweeted this video of him in this gym in Miami, and it's the one that he got the shots up in a wheelchair. But this time it starts off, he's like sitting on this box like 30 feet from the rim, and he swishes a 3, and then he stands up, and and he walks. He swings his big giant cast of metal craziness on a fulcrum over to the right wing and buries another three, and then keeps walking and says something feathery, and then hits a corner three to it. He hit all three. It was fantastic. I bet it took a million takes because he was going so slow and he can't jump. He's not used to that in his life, but it was great to see him up and moving for the first time since the injury, because I thought up to this point that he literally couldn't move his leg. I thought that he still had to be sitting down with it stabilized in a flat position away from his body. So not that I know anything about rehab, but that seems like a huge step to be able to actually like walk in a gym and do standing jump shots. Like, you can take free throws or layups or like, you know, do stuff to keep your game at least somewhat consistent in these instances. And the fact that we hadn't seen Vic in so long makes this nice too. Felt like all the videos were just him in a chair, talking about the team or like cutesy little stuff from the Pacers from him, which is fine. You know, those things matter, but, that's not, you know, that doesn't really encourage me in any way in the way this did. Those just make me feel like he's still being a part of the run, where in this case, it's like, okay, clearly there is progress being made on the Victor Oladipo road to recovery. And Kevin Bowen, ESPN 10. Wow. I almost just said, oh my gosh. What do I even know? I was about to say 1260 for some reason. I don't know what I'm doing here. 1070. Kevin Bowen asked if Vic does any, like, not that he's helping or like if he's a role with the team, but like if he's watching film and offering advice. And McMillan basically just said no. He's not, you know, it's not his job. He's just in Miami watching the team's games and trying to rehab to be ready for next year. And I know that's like a half a PR answer, but also like I don't anticipate that Victor Oladipo is like cutting video. I don't know, that's not what he meant by the question. You know, I think he meant is he, you know, watching stuff and telling the team what he's seeing. But I'm glad that Vic's watching all the games and keeping up with his team and getting excited for their wins. I know he tweeted something about Bojan when he was going off in that 37-point game, which was really interesting. So glad he is getting better and on the mend. If you haven't watched the video yet, it's everywhere. There's like a million articles and tweets about it. So go check it out. It's really great to see Vic up and moving. He's wearing an All-Star t-shirt too. So that's our first evidence that Victor Oladipo was in fact an All-Star this season, in case you forgot. So go check that out. It's really exciting to see the team star up and moving. My official stance prediction, whatever you want to call it, is still that he will be back by day one next year, although I have no actual medical backing to to make that claim. I just, you know, with an injury that long, I think Tony Parker's precedent was good enough, and using the exact number of days of Tony Parker, he'll be back in time. So I think this is step one of many on the road to seeing Vic on game number one of the 2019 season. So great video. Go check it out if you haven't already. Just a small bit of take on it. Now I'm going to take one more break and talk about what's going on, or at least what I might be going on with Tyreke Evans. So yesterday, before the Knicks game, I should really have had the Pacers Twitter account up in front of me, but someone reported that Tyreke Evans was dealing with an upper respiratory infection, and that, you know, he was questionable for this game against the Knicks, and he's always sick or something, or like Tyreke's questionable all the time, right? So I'm not going to be like, oh man, better really think about, you know, what this actually means or anything like that. But then today, you know, right before Nate McMillan's press scrum before the game, me and J. Michael Andy Starr, he's amazing at this, we're talking about if he was playing or not, and Jay asked him right away, and Nate said, no, he's not going to play. He's out for personal reasons, and that kind of made me click. Like, you know, if he's out with this upper respiratory infection, they're not going to not say that. That's not a bad reason to be out. Like, it's hard to play when you can't breathe or, like, you're sick. Like, you know, that makes sense to me. But then to say it was personal reasons was weird. And then Tyreke walked out of the locker room, like, during the scrum and, like, walked into another hallway. And so he was there, like he was at the arena at that point in time. And then he wasn't on the bench in street clothes or anything during the game. I don't know if anybody even noticed that, because, it seems like nobody cares about this guy anymore. he should probably not be playing with the reserves anymore. It probably should be Aaron Holiday's role. He's played better than him in his – well, no, he hasn't. He's played almost as good as him, and his development time is more important. So it was all strange, like that culmination of events. And then I tried to talk to some people and didn't really get a lot, any information, basically. But the tone was weird. It seems like there might be like a news thing. You know, Nate in the post game press conference is mainly what I'm referring to. J. Michael again with the question here, but he said that he phrased it one way and then immediately changed it to the PR phrasing. He said, "I doubt that Tyreek will play in Thursday's game against the Thunder," and then immediately said it will be doubtful for that game. So it's not that he walked it back. Like, he didn't change what he said. It's just like one of those was his PR speak, and one of those is him speaking the mind. And I think when he is speaking his mind and he says, "I doubt Tyreek's going to play," like, Tyreek's not going to play in that game. So I don't know what's going on. So this is a long segment to tell you that I have no idea why Tyreek Evans is out for personal reasons or why he's not going to be playing in the Thunder game. But the culmination of everything for the night coming together makes me think that maybe something is up, but I don't actually know what could be up. So keep an eye on that. It'll be something to look out for going forward. Holiday should step in. I mean, he only played 6 minutes in this game, and two of them he only played because Corey Joseph was, like, not on the bench when they needed to sub because Darren Collison had two fouls really early on. So he's basically playing the old Leaf role, which is just, like, end of first, early second. But Holiday should get some minutes, and then they'll continue to play Matthews crazy minutes to avoid that time. So something might get spoken about that soon. We'll have to see. But in the meantime, just keep an eye out for something on that front. That's all I got for today's show. Glad they were able to get the win over the Knicks despite basically trying to blow it and shoot themselves in the foot at the end of the game. Tomorrow we'll talk PG and the Thunder. No storylines at all from that game. I know it's going to be trite a year later. It's not going to be as interesting as last year, that's for sure. But a first-time opponent still merits some long discussions, so stay tuned for that. As always, you can find me on Twitter at TEastNBA, this podcast at Locked On Pacers. We tweet out every episode on the Locked On Pacers account. We need to find more ways to use it more constructively. I'm sure we'll figure it out in the offseason finally. But thank you guys so much for listening, and have a great rest of your day.